Hey, John, you know there are a million ways to run a restaurant. Every chef has their own spin on things. But no matter who you are or how you cook, you need a good point of sale. And it boggles my mind how many places don't.
Derek, you know, this reminds me of the exact conversation we had with that struggling and overworked restaurant hospitality group executive we recently talked to about their issues with this exact same problem off the air before the show.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It's so simple with Cake, which is the point of sale system that lets bar and restaurant owners focus on the guest experience. They can stop worrying about tracking every sale. Cake does that for you. You can automatically save information and review it later from anywhere. That means you can actually take days off, which can be pretty rare in the restaurant industry. I don't know about you, but Cake, you actually spend time with your family without worrying about adding up last night's sales. I mean, who wants to do that anymore?
Really?
I told them to go to trycake.com/smallbites and take a look for themselves. Cake makes it easy.
That sounds simple enough to me.
It is. And get this. To get started with Cake, when you go to trycake.com/smallbites, them and our listeners can get $750 off the activation fee. That's a 75% discount. And with that discount, you get a user-friendly point-of-sale solution that includes cloud reporting and world-class 24/7 support.
That's amazing.
My saying is, take a look at trycake.com/smallbites and get a slice of your own piece of cake.
Derek, I couldn't have said that any better myself. Trycake.com/smallbites and get your own slice of cake.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Where's the beef?
Cookie!
He likes it!
No soup for you! No soup for you! No soup for you!
Feed me more!
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome to...
But you forget where we're at, Don? Good Lord.
Welcome to Wildfire Radio Small Bites with Derek Tim and Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service. And Derek Tim is with BlueJeanFoodCritic.com.
BlueJeanFood.com. We got to stop drinking before the show.
The sponsor this week, UConn Jack. Thanks for your contribution.
But I am Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com, and we welcome a nice guest from the following show at Dining on the Dime. That is no other than John Cole.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They couldn't get me out of the studio, everybody.
Well, I mean, it was a slow process with all the stunking drooper that we had going on and all the alcohol flowing. Did you come from the bar, Don?
I should have.
Yeah. But we have someone who is online with us who I'm sure is much more articulate than any of us to start the show.
That's a pretty low bar to set, but okay.
Yeah, we've set it low tonight. And that would be John Howard Fusco, the nightlife correspondent for Courier Post. And he also has a blog that was recognized by the New York Times.
He's a writer of sorts, isn't he?
Of sorts, yeah, I've heard. What's going on tonight, John?
Hey guys, how are we all doing this evening?
Great.
Do you want to get right to the? We have a lot of restaurant things to talk about, so I'll get right into it. I want to first talk about Hops. This is a new bar and restaurant concept that opened this past week in Brewerytown. This concept has already gone through two different changes. It was first going to be Flying Fish Craft House, and then it was going to be Brewerytown Tap Room, but now it is called Hops. The menu is very casual, and of course, there's going to be plenty of beer to be had with a name like Hops. Next, I'm going to go to Ollie, O-L-L-Y. This is a new casual bar and restaurant from the folks that gave us Southwark and Umbra. Just opened this past week on South 5th Street. Ollie is going for a more neighborhood restaurant vibe, also a very casual dining spot. Vernalicious is the brick-and-mortar return of the food truck of the same name that came off the streets 3 years ago. Now in South Philly on Ritter Street, look for the same comfort food and veggies that made the food truck well-loved. Look for an April 19th soft opening of Bistro La Bette. This is an old-school French bistro located on South 9th Street. Kalia is a new Thai restaurant that opened this past week on South 9th Street, right near Ralph's Italian in Bella Vista. This is according to Michael Klein of Philly.com. Really quick on the Jersey side of things, at long last, Summers Point Brewing Company finally had its opening this past week. This brewery has been in, was founded in 2017, and it's taken a long time, but finally opened this past week. So if you're heading to the shore this summer, look for Summers Point Brewing Company. Some of the beer all things they have right now include a Big Nose Blonde Ale, Beasley's Point Brown Ale, and Flake News New England IPA. Flake means for flaked oats is one of the ingredients, hence the name Flake News. So these articles and more I'll be mentioning on my blog and posting on Twitter later tonight at Eating in S Jersey, and as always, hashtag Small Bites Radio.
And you mentioned a lot about the shore, but what's the perfect thing to take with you when you go to the shore, John?
Well, the perfect thing to take, of course, would be Culinary History of Cape May, especially if you're heading down to Cape May. If you want to read about the history of Cape May through food, available at Amazon.com and bookstores all around the area.
And I heard it has a wonderful author. We'll mention the name
Yeah, he's a writer of sorts.
Have a great night, John. We'll talk to you again April 28th.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good evening.
You too. Well, Don, that was exciting.
That was a great start to the show.
It's a good thing he had a better answer, because when you said, "Would he take to the shore?" my answer was beer, and then I had nothing after that.
But we have Adam Leiter, is it?
That's right.
In studio with us. And why don't you kick this one off, Don?
Hope I can do better than the beginning here. Hey, Adam, I understand we're here for the third year for the
Flavors on the Avenue.
Yeah, the Street Festival. So what's new with the festival and what's going on for it this year?
That's right. So it's actually more than the third year. It's the third year that it's going to be a five-block-long street festival. So the just a quick background in history is that Flavors on East Passyunk Avenue in South Philly has been going on. I think it started probably around 2010, 2011, I want to say, as a tented, ticketed event where we would bring out all of the amazing restaurants that, you know, especially at that time, 10 years or so ago, were really just like burgeoning and just starting to really drive the awareness of East Passyunk as a foodie destination and the city's real new restaurant row. So what was great about that was the variety and an opportunity to taste all these different menus in smaller bite portions. But
did he say small biter?
I did. You like how I wove that in? I know where I am, unlike some people. But that was the great thing about it. What was somewhat limiting was that with a tented event, you could only have about 1,000 or so people. So by opening this up, it's now one of our two really, you know, mainstay events where we shut down five blocks of our mile-long business corridor. We are able to have 10,000 or so people come and join us for the day. So it runs all day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have over two dozen restaurants that either come out onto the street itself, or if they can, they open up the windows to their location and then we'll serve through the window. And some, if they need to, you'll go inside and be able to get $3 to $6 bites from inside that are special to this event.
Oh, nice. What are some of the restaurants that are going to be involved in this street festival?
So again, there's so many. I mean, there's everything from high-end, the typical high-end dining that you'll find on the avenue, places like Fond, places like In the Valley, which is associated with Laurel, which, you know, is one of the top restaurants in the country. We have James Beard nominated chefs. We have even places like, as a perfect example is Essen Bakery, who have some of the most incredible babka in the city. And Tova, who is the head baker there, is James Beard Award nominated for, I think, the second year in a row, if not more. And so she'll be dishing out pieces there. We have stuff like chicken and waffles from Chaya Cafe, Pistolas del Sur at the other end of the avenue, and the 1900 block is going to have churros and grilled corn. So it's hard to give the whole perspective.
I think you forgot to mention at least one place.
I think I forgot to mention about 12 places, but
at least Stogie Joe's.
Well, Stogie Joe's is going to get their own segment here.
Let everybody know at the beginning of the show about Stogie Joe's.
Stogie Joe's is, you know, Stogie Joe's is special too because they are one of the places that keep the party going even, you know, after the fact, after our streets are kind of getting cleaned up. Stogie's keeps things going with, you know, some additional music and fun, but I know that Sonny Boy will tell you a little bit more about that coming up too.
So what makes if you're deciding to go, what would be the best way? Is parking available, the streets?
So I think the best way to come for this event in particular, there's usually parking around South Philly in general. You know, it's a neighborhood, so on Sundays you can find parking. It's there. It's there. I'm positive.
SEPTA.
You can also get there by SEPTA
from the Broad Street line.
You know what? A great strategy. There's two secrets I'm going to tell you. One is just like if you're coming in for a ball game or something else down at the stadiums, a lot of people will park, you know, a little further away on Broad Street and then take the Broad Street line a couple stops.
That's the way I do it.
That's the way I would do it, too.
And then the second big secret is we have right across from the avenue at Broad and McKean is Constitution Health Plaza, and they have a $5 an hour parking garage. And if you're coming in for other days, they have $5 flat rate overnight. So you can park from 5 p.m. and as long as you're out before 9 a.m., $5. So like even if you're coming in for other nights for, you know, to enjoy the restaurants and stroll on the avenue, it's the best in the city. Yeah.
I understand the street festival is the biggest event in the region. Why do you think that is so successful?
I think it's definitely one of the biggest street food festivals, and it kicks off the spring festival season, I think, in South Philly too. So I think it's popular because we have such a wide variety. It's like I was mentioning, all the different kinds of restaurants, and this is what's great about the avenue in general, is that the avenue is amazing because we have the high-end dining. We have the grab-and-go places. We have places that have been around for close to 100 years. We have hot new places that have just opened up within, you know, the last year or less. And to be able to walk along for the day in a five-block span and hit up all of those amazing restaurants and just to grab-and-go, to go listen to some awesome music, to interact with you know, the community, with your friends, with family, it's just amazing.
What's one of your favorite places along East Pass Young John, our food expert in studio?
I'm not particularly fond of eating food from a stationary sub. I kind of prefer to be on wheels, but I was hoping you wouldn't ask me this because he's sitting right here, but Stogie Joe's is kind of like, how can you not eat there? I mean, there's a lot of places where there's like a lot of really good choices. But you follow me on Twitter. Most of the Twitter peeps I know, somebody's in there at least once a week. If it's not me, it's somebody else that's over there. The food is great. The service is great. I know it sounds like super cheesy. Like, oh, dude, you're saying that because he's sitting right there. I'll tell you, go through my Twitter feed. A girl in Philly, Kimberly, she and her crew have got to be in there once a week, you know, at least. A bunch of my friends hang out over there. I have friends that work in the area.
It's a fun area in Philly.
It really is. Today was a good day to go over to East Pajunk because everybody was over in Manioc at the street festival. So you could actually get through today. You know, it's East Pajunk is literally one after another, after another, after another.
Yeah.
My recommendation would be just pick one and go and then work your way out. It's going to be very difficult for you to not get a decent.
My recommendation is stay all day, breakfast, go different places for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You don't have to go too far, five-block areas. It's not bad.
That's what the cool thing is. You can go there with eight different people, eight different personalities, and you'll find a place to eat.
Yeah, everyone's going to be happy.
No doubt. You got it all.
Yeah, and to your point about Stogie's, I mean, that's one of the great things is Stogie's is one of a handful of places on the avenue that people go back again and again. It becomes like their second living room, you know? Like you go there, you see your friends, you're hanging out, and
people are, you kind of know people. It really does. It sounds almost like you get a little cheesy, like Cheers or whatever. But it's true, though. You recognize people come and go, and
people, you come in, you don't know a person, but at the end of the night, exactly. You got somebody's phone number, you're meeting them somewhere else, you know?
That's exactly how it starts.
The way it is.
People are keeping track of servers and staff, and someone's having a baby, getting married, whatever situation. It really is.
Thank you. It's nice to hear it.
It becomes like a whole thing. You're like, oh, did you hear? You know, so-and-so broke up. You're like, oh, maybe I ought to go in there. I'm not quite sure how like complete strangers going in to drink at your place of work helps when you've had a personal breakup, but that's the reaction. There's very few places in the city, not to, you know, be negative, but there's very few places in the city that have the vibe that Soggy does.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So, Adam, nice. Where do people go to get information on the festival, the times, and, et cetera?
Absolutely. So you can check out a few places, either at our main website, which is visiteastpassyunk.com. Actually, I'm going to re-say that. It's visiteastpassyunk.com, PASSYUNK. I have to say it the right way and then re-spell it the way that people would plug it into Google, right?
Philadelphian.
South Philadelphian says it.
And then you can also check out at EastPassYunk on Instagram and Facebook, and we have tons of info up there.
Now, this is such a wonderful event, and East Passyunk really revitalized over the last few years. You're part of a program that helped revitalize East Passyunk. Why are programs like the one that you're part of important to the businesses in the district?
I think that organizations like the Business Improvement District are important because it helps to collaborate with all of the different businesses to help be an advocate for them when it comes to navigating things like city services even. It helps with marketing and promotions, obviously, to have a singular driving force to help spread the word and make sure that people know about all the wonderful things that are out there. I think that a lot of the time when people are coming in, especially from outside of the neighborhood, they might have that, one thing they know about the avenue. And they may come in, go to that, and head out. And they're missing out on so much more that by coming together and letting everyone know, whether it's through events like this, through promotional materials that we're putting out, through other outreach to help even expand upon the notoriety that individual restaurants and businesses get on their own. So we help be an additional amplifier to a lot of that material too.
Well, I mean, East Passyunk has really become one of the culinary gems of Philadelphia. And we thank you so much for coming in, Adam Leiter, the Executive Director for East Passyunk Avenue Business Improvement District. And you guys are doing a fabulous job down there. And we want—
Great job.
Oh, fantastic. We want everyone to go down to the Flavors on the Avenue Street Festival on Sunday, April 28th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And going from one wonderful Philadelphia food event to another, we are excited to welcome the legendary chef Robert Irvine, who will be hosting the third annual Beats and Eats food and music event. And that's all going down on Monday, May 13th at the Fillmore, Philadelphia, which is a beautiful venue. If someone has not been there yet, it is fantastic. I really love that area. But Chef Robert, how's it going tonight?
Hey, how are you, Derek?
We're doing great. So it is such an honor to speak with you. I really love all of the things that you do for the military around the world. It's a selfless act for yourself. The free time that you have, I know, is very minimal, but you really go above and beyond to take care of service members all around the world. So I want to thank you for that first and foremost.
You're welcome. I just came back off a 9-day, 40,000-mile world trip with the vice chairman actually a couple of days ago. So it's exciting, it's fun, and that's the whole idea of Beats and Eats. That's why we do it.
Exactly. Beats and Eats is assisting funding for your foundation, which helps all of these wonderful organizations for veterans. But let's get to the fun stuff, which is the third annual Beats and Eats. And the only way that I can describe this event is that it's truly one epic night of food and music.
Yeah.
And it's a family-style service. And you've got a lot of special friends coming in to join you at this event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the event and some of your friends who are coming to join the party?
Well, thank you. What was great about this is 100% of this money goes to our foundation. And in December of last year, we give our first $1 million away to charity. So it's pretty awesome. This year, I think we've got an amazing lineup of chefs: Andrew Zimmern, Buddy Valestro, Kat Cora, Jose Gartas, Kevin Spraga, and obviously, you know, the one person I'm always enamored with, the Empress of 13th Street, Marcy Turner, she's just an amazing human being. We've got a lot of music, rappers, jazz musicians, rock and roll soul artists, and a Philadelphia icon, Lauren Hart. And some great music, some great food, an amazing after party. Really honored and proud to be working with Comcast, a great Philadelphia company, and Penn Gaming, two of our presenting sponsors. And you know, it's just a fun night. I chose family style feeding because I want people to meet and greet and talk and have fun, along with the great food. We've got Patron Spirits doing the after party, Federal Donuts, Let Alone Coffee, and it's just going to be a great let your hair down fun night that you can enjoy food, meet some great folks. But we still haven't finished. We're still working on some other folks with music as well. So if you want to party on a Monday night, I'm going to tell you this is the place to be for sure.
I'd say so. Chef, this is Jay Cole. We've met a couple times before in Hilton Head and in Hershey, PA a few years ago. I was wondering, I vacation in Hilton Head a lot, and I'm wondering if you have any plans or hopes to maybe reopen a restaurant down there, because both Eat and Nosh were delicious. Best food I've had in that area.
Well, the first thing is, I love the area. The only reason I closed the restaurant, because in success comes greediness. The landlords of those areas put my rent up from you know, 5,000 to 17,000 a month, which was ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, it's the curse of being a TV star, right?
Yeah, well, that and having a packed restaurant that was never packed before. And I loved Hilton Head. I loved Eat. It was my favorite restaurant. Nosh was a project that I did with burgers and sandwiches. And actually, Tom, my builder from the show, built that restaurant. Broke his nose in the process of making the light fixtures.
Wow.
And then went to hospital. Carried on until we finished the restaurant before we went to hospital. So it's kind of, we had some great memories there. And we would still be there if it wasn't for these, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to say you're very gracious. You said hello to everyone at our table. Everywhere I've seen you, you've been super gracious. I can't think of a better human being to sort of support the foundation for in the culinary industry than you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's wonderful. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that you, Chef Robert, spent a decent amount of time in the South Jersey area in
Absecon, yeah.
And so you are quite familiar with South Jersey and Philadelphia. What is the thing that you, because you travel a lot, what is the one thing you miss about the Philadelphia, South Jersey area? Because I know me, whenever I go traveling, if I'm overseas for 2 to 3 weeks, I'm fiending for some scrapple when I get back.
Yeah. Well, I think there's all those kinds of simple things, but what I miss the most, I've been able to leave it. So I literally live in the Kimpton Hotel there when I'm, you know, I have an office in Philadelphia on Walnut Street. I was in the Curtis Center for many years with the production facility. So Philly is like home to me, and it really is. I'm there so often. You know, I sit in the restaurant in the Kimpton Hotel and drink beer with a lot of folks. And so for me, it's being able to leave the hotel and go and find whatever you want in food in you know, literally walking distance. And I miss that because when I go abroad or I go to the shows, it may not necessarily be in a major city. It may be in the boonies somewhere. And and I just did one, so I won't tell you where it was, but there were three restaurants, and they were all fast food.
Yeah.
So, you know, I miss being able to go and pick if I'm in a mood for sushi, or if I want chicken, I go to Park. You know, it just the range of food there and the people. you know, I'm a transplant of Philly from England, as it were. But you know, the Eagles and the teams there, I go to as many games as I can. So it's kind of I don't know. I just like missing home.
Well, we thank you for considering Philadelphia one of your homes.
Absolutely,
and it's not easy for someone from outside of Philadelphia to welcome us, because we're a rough crowd.
Yeah, no. Well, the U.S. Navy made Chef Irvine an honorary, I believe, chief petty officer. They just don't hand those out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's something you earn. And
exactly.
You know, if he's fine enough for the Navy and he's fine enough for Philadelphia, he's fine enough for everybody.
The Philadelphia welcomes usually the middle finger. But getting back to Beats and Eats, one thing that people may not realize is that when they purchase a ticket, not only are you going to have wonderful food from all of the chefs that you mentioned who you're bringing along, but all tickets include complimentary parking, and that's not an easy task around that area. A hosted bar with incredible signature cocktails and access to the after party, which is presented by Patron Spirits, Federal Donuts, and La Colombe. So that
and more to the point, you get to hang out with all the chefs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the one thing I've learned about what we do is people want to access just to chat and talk and ask questions, and I think this is one of the occasions where it allows, and there will be some surprise guests there also, allows people to do that. You can drink, you can buy me a drink, even though it's free. You know, you can have some fun. That's what this is about. And it's my largest fundraiser. It's become my largest fundraiser for the Robert Irvine Foundation, which, you know, hopefully, when I Cooper it, it's my legacy, you know, to have done things. You know, we've built 84 homes with Garrison East Foundation. We just gave our first dog away this year in Tampa a couple of weeks ago to a post-traumatic stress patient. So we're doing great work. You're going to see an awful lot about when people show up, what they don't know about what we do. We've kind of kept it under wraps for a long time that, you know, we spend 150 days a year on the road or with the military in some shape or form. And you're going to see some great moments on video and music. And I think you'll be, you know, surprised at what we pack into this evening.
Well, I think with all that fantastic work that you're doing, you've certainly stamped your book when you get to the pearly white gates.
Oh, absolutely. Say,
come on through, Chef Robert.
He gets in front of the line. You've
done a fantastic
job.
You're in the VIP line. But where did the concept come for Beats and Eats? It's an interesting concept, especially with the family-style event. Where did the concept come?
Well, here's the thing. So music and food are alike in that. If a score is unfinished or a recipe is unfinished, the magic can't happen. So that's how I take Beats and Eats. It's a symphony of music along with a symphony of food, and the magic happens in that room. And that's what Beats and Eats stands for.
That's great. Now, also, you are married to the wonderful Gail Kim, and you guys do all sorts of fitness videos and inspiration to keep people in shape and inspired. I myself am a wrestling fan. Do you guys watch wrestling at all? And if you do, who's your favorite performer at this time?
Well, I can tell you, Gail travels obviously for Impact Wrestling, and she's about to have this huge match in a couple of weeks, so she's been focused on that. I watch wrestling when I watch my wife.
There you go.
There you go.
Excellent answer. Yeah. Your favorite performer.
There you go.
That was the correct answer. But it was such a privilege to speak to you, Chef Robert. Do you want to give out any social medias or websites before you go?
Well, people can buy tickets and beatsandeats.co.
Perfect.
So it's not .com, it's .co. And you can follow me on Instagram at Chef Irvine or on Twitter at Robert Irvine and see what we're doing and join in the fun. And then we also have Restaurant Impossible returns on April the 20th.
Yes.
For its 14th season at 9 p.m. So that's pretty cool. And get a ticket and come and have some fun at Beats and Eats.
Definitely, definitely.
On Monday, the 13th of May.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have a fantastic night.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate calling in.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you there.
Will do. Bye-bye. Well, to go from Beats and Eats, everyone, what goes better than a wonderful night of music and a real nice dinner would be...
The wrestling match?
That could be one outcome. But another outcome would be to have some nice cheese and maybe some wines to finish it off. And we have the perfect person online to talk about such topics. Nice. Which would be Janet Fletcher, who runs the wildly successful blog Planet Cheese, and she has a new book released called Wine Country Table. How's it going tonight, Janet?
You're making me hungry. I need some cheese.
And you are indeed one of the foremost experts in cheese, and now you are dabbling in wine country with recipes that celebrate California's sustainable harvest. This is a wonderful book. And I can tell you what, I did get a workout going through it because it's
17,000 pages.
But it's so beautiful. The pictures are wonderful quality. And I can't say enough about it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it yourself?
Well, yeah, it's an upper body workout, all right. It's a really heavy book because it's printed on really gorgeous paper, and it has lots of images and lots of recipes. But for me, the best part of being a writer is that it has lots of stories about the farmers and vintners who grow the foods and make the wine that we all enjoy. So it was kind of a foodie road trip for me, going from one end of California to the other, telling the stories of these of the wine regions and some key wineries and grape growers in each of the wine regions, and then visiting farmers up and down the state who grow some of those iconic California crops like asparagus and artichokes and figs and tomatoes and so forth, olive oil, which is getting to be a real big thing in our state. So it's really, you know, people are always saying, I want to know where my food comes from. And I think the book does a good job of telling people where their food comes from and who these people are who are growing it.
The myth that you know, people say wine has to go with certain foods. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I'm a daily wine drinker, so it doesn't really matter what I'm eating. I'm going to have a glass of wine or more, actually. And I just think wine goes with friends, it goes with family, it goes with being around the table, and most of all, for me, wine really kind of slows down a meal. You're not going to rush through a meal when you have a bottle of wine on the table. So that's what I like most about it. It says, you know, it's time to relax. Let's have a glass of wine and some conversation. And that's what it's brought to my life ever since. You know, I've been drinking wine for a long time, and it's not something that I take super seriously. You know, I'm not an expert, but I know what I like, and not a good day goes by that I don't have a nice glass of wine or two.
Yeah, the good thing about wine is it's always a good complementary to whatever you're eating. So of all the different wines, do you prefer reds or do you prefer whites?
Well, it kind of depends on the weather and what food is in front of me. I'm an equal opportunity wine drinker. There are times for both. I really do love a good glass of Cabernet Sauvignon, but at my house we eat a lot of, I would say, plant-based food. We don't eat a whole lot of meat, so I'm really happy with rosé a lot of the time, or a lighter red. California is making so many different styles of wine. It's not like Europe where, you know, in France, in Burgundy, they make Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and in, Bordeaux, they make Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. California, we make a lot of different wines, a lot of different grape varieties up and down the state. And the cool thing I tried to focus on in the book was sustainability and talking to growers and vendors who are really on the cutting edge of sustainable practices. That's kind of a theme that runs through the book, not only for the wines, but for the produce as well. Who are these farmers who are growing more responsibly?
And that's what I really enjoyed about the book, is it's so beautifully photographed. And the book literally takes you through a visual tour of 23 amazing farms and wineries. And that was such a great journey to see in the book. And the book also spotlights the varieties of the fruit and vegetable crops and how to select and use them. And not only do you get to see the 23 farms and wineries, you've put 50 recipes that cover all the bases. For example, you have breakfast, the Garden State Granola. I love that. I love that name. The lunch is the frittata with broccoli rabe and sheep cheese. Interesting combination, and I think maybe Philadelphia can get in there. We got Stogie Joe's shaking their head over there. He likes that one. And for dinner, lamb meatballs with artichokes and olives, all the way to dessert, almond, orange, and olive oil cake. So eclectic, but delicious at the same time. Bravo to you.
Thank you. Yeah, we have, we can grow just about anything in this state in a different zone. People think of California as warm and sunny, and a lot of it is, but a lot of it is foggy and cool along the coast. So that's where we grow asparagus, that's where we grow artichokes and peas and lettuces. And then as you get further inland, it gets warmer and you can grow things like tomatoes and peppers. And as you get down south, like towards San Diego, it does get to be kind of desert-like, and you can grow dates and more kind of tropical fruits, avocados, kiwis. So there's a sweet spot for just about every crop in this state.
Yeah, and also this one really got me was Vietnamese chicken pho with the perfect glass of California Riesling. Whew.
I'm so glad you mentioned that dish, because I am more proud of that dish than anything in the book. I've been eating pho for years and have always been in restaurants and was always afraid that I wouldn't be able to make it myself. I didn't think I could, but I was determined to do it for the book, and I'm super proud of that chicken pho recipe.
Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us. It was such a wonderful book. Do you want to share any websites or social medias before you go?
Well, people can find me on janetfletcher.com, and they can find more about the book there. And discovercaliforniawines.com is another place to go for information about California wine.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Janet Fletcher, it was a pleasure having you join us. Have a fantastic night. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Same to you.
Thanks. Man, we're just bouncing back. We went East Coast, West Coast, and now we're going to make our way all the way back to the East Coast.
I got to say something really quick, because apparently a few of my Twitter people were very upset because we've been talking about East Passyunk, and I haven't mentioned a place that I've talked about a lot on a couple different other shows, way below your show, of course, but other shows, and that's Punk Burger. I didn't specifically mention them by name. It's just a great place to go get a burger.
Well, I sure hope that you are able to cash the check after the show.
No, I feel bad because people are like, oh, J. Cole, you did the whole burger show and you talked about It's Always Sunny and East Passyunk and these other burgers that they do. Really kind of some imaginative stuff. And partially because you're right here, my thoughts go to like crab gravy and you know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't think about it. But if you're like a burger guy, you can do way worse and not much better than going over
well,
to Punk Burger.
I don't think you can go wrong on East Passyunk, in my opinion.
Well, you
but
can,
do you know what complements a burger well?
I'm going to go with beer. This was my answer from the last one.
Well, that is a proper answer, but soup as well. I think good soup goes with a burger. And we have the perfect person online with us, and that would be Chef Paul Watterson, I probably got that wrong, of the Fanwood Grill. And they were voted as having the best soup in New Jersey. So, soup for you, yes. How's it going there tonight, Chef Paul?
How you doing? The name was perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, we don't get the names right very often here at Small Bite, so I'm glad we're 3 for 3 tonight, Don.
We're good.
We just stumbled out the gate a little bit.
I tripped.
But Fanwood Grill, best soup in New Jersey. How did you get named the best soup in New Jersey, and why is it so delicious? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, basically, when you come in, everything is homemade in our place. So we started making soups and expanding on them. And the dailymeal.com voted us best soup in New Jersey. And the criteria was fresh ingredients, everything homemade, everything fresh. And I have no idea who came in, when they came in. They came in at one point, and then, you know, next thing you know, we were on Channel 4, the Star Ledger, everything. It was great. It was a nice surprise.
And not only for the soup, but your eatery serves home-cooked food made on premise with fresh ingredients and a little bit of flair.
Yes.
And in addition to having a classic diner luncheonette menu for breakfast, listen to this, J. Cole, they also have burgers.
I'll tell you what else the Fanwood Grill is very well known for. We just had National Empanada Day like a week ago, and Pete Genovese, who works, was calling names, like, tell me where to get empanadas. Fanwood Grill's name came out a lot. They do Grandma's Empanada, chicken, beef. They're absolutely delicious.
How about that? Listen to that. So not only for soup, now you're getting recognized for empanadas as well. Congratulations.
It's not, you know, something, it's nice because it sounds like you guys really enjoy food, and it's a
no. It's we a hate
passion.
It.
It's not the money. It's not. It's the fact that somebody, you know, if you leave our house, you leave full. You leave with a to-go plate. You probably laughed as hard as you could, and it's a good time. And that's what we try to do there. Just make it like our very homey, so you can enjoy yourself.
And as far as the soups go, your chicken noodle soup is so popular, you have to call in advance to purchase it because it sells out so quickly. I mean, that in itself tells you what kind of soup you're putting out there.
Yeah.
That one's crazy. That I actually get there 4 a.m. to make soup.
4 a.m.
And it's very hard to keep up on the chicken noodle. But we came up with a couple crazy ones. Like, we do a chicken mango habanero, which we invented. You won't find it anywhere. That's a real crazy one. We do a falafel soup, crab bisque, lobster bisque. And everyone has their favorite, and it always seems like we don't have the one when the person comes in, it's their favorite. You just can't keep up. But it's great. It's really, you know, it was a blessing. It really was.
And you also have other classics like lobster bisque, creamy butternut squash, also in another award-winning New England clam chowder. But you've also invented a couple other soups that I know J. Cole here likes mashups, and Don's always a fan of different things. He's got mango chicken habanero soup, falafel soup, vegan and gluten-free, Italian hot dog soup, and cream of Thanksgiving soup.
What is an Italian hot dog?
Well, that's the Chef Paul's the perfect person to ask.
You know
Don,
what an Italian hot dog is?
I have no idea.
It's a North Jersey thing. It's usually two hot dogs, hoagie roll, potatoes, onions, fried up.
Oh.
It's funny, too, because we were voted, I don't know if you're familiar because you know Mr. Genovese, but they do John Fox runs a hot dog tour.
I know John pretty well. He's New Jersey's hot dog ambassador.
And he's in there. He's in there a lot, and he put us on the hot dog tour in September. And when they came, the guy from Jimmy's Bus was on the bus with them when they all came. They actually invented the Italian hot dog, so I gave him the Italian hot dog.
And you are also on. He's one of 7 stops on the annual tour of Hot Dog Nation tour of New Jersey.
That's kind of cool.
They invited me to join their Facebook group because I judged with Pete Genovese and John Fox, a few other people, New Jersey's Best Hot Dogs for 2018. And the people, I kind of tended to get the southern part of the state because of where we live. They talked about that soup constantly. the Italian hot dog soup? Like, it's, how, you know, how did you pull that off?
And also, legendary.
I'm going to say, if he...
Oh, go ahead.
If he wants to, if he does stop up, we do a hot dog that's really insane. We do candied bacon with these really hot onions, and we call it the fire and ice dog.
Nice.
So the bacon is a little sweet, and the onions are super hot. So between the both, when we eat it, it's kind of crazy. But that was really taking off.
And also, you do legendary lobster rolls. I'm a big fan of lobster rolls. So tell us your twist on a lobster roll.
Well, I've been going to Maine since I was 2 years old.
Wow, so that must have been a far walk.
I would go two weeks out of the year. I didn't actually live there, but we used to vacation there all the time. And the one thing I got really accustomed to was good lobster rolls, good raspberry pie, and good blueberry pie. And, you know, the secret to a lobster roll isn't much of anything. It's just using Maine lobster. So when you toast the roll and you have a lobster roll, you're enjoying lobster. You're not enjoying celery, fillers, pollock, whatever sometimes they love to put in a lobster roll. But we actually even need the claws whole. So when you have a lobster roll, it looks like the lobster just jumped in there. You know what I mean?
Wow. Wow, well...
So it's very popular.
Well, Chef Paul, you definitely have all of our mouths watering with this menu that you put out, and it sounds as though...
Friday, they had a shrimp po' boy that had people getting ready to jump through their phone screens when the picture came up.
My goodness. Well, congratulations. You deserve all the accolades, it sounds like, and continued success for you. Chef Paul Watterson of Fanwood Grill, why don't you give us any social medias, websites, or anything like that before you go?
Basically, it's fanwoodgrill.com. That's our main website. That's, you can order there. You can look us up. We run an Instagram page. We run a Facebook page. And Instagram's kind of fun because we do movies of our soups and things that we create. So it's very interactive. When you go there, you can actually be part of it and see what we do every day. So it's kind of cool.
Perfect. Thank you so much for calling in. It was a pleasure.
Nice. Oh, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I hope something. I see you someday. All right.
Will do. Will do. Man, that was fun.
Take care, guys.
We're going all over the place.
There we are.
So I feel like we got to make him an Italian hot dog now.
I want to have to probably get one.
Find like a friendly bar, then just go in there. You know what? It's not complicated, but it's a thing that really just sits like in North Jersey. You get past 195, nobody knows what an Italian hot dog is.
New Trenton.
Yeah.
No. Well,
Hamilton.
This is Soprano Country hot dog. Most of the state's hot dog places are in what I call the Soprano part of the state.
Making an offer you can't refuse?
Yeah, it's all in the Northeast. The heaviest concentration of places are there. And this Italian hot dog started where literally they take half of what they call it a sub roll, but we know it's a hoagie roll. And it would be like two Sobretz dogs, usually deep fried or griddled. And a whole mess of home fries would go in there. I mean, they just call them potatoes and onions, but, you know, for us, it's home fries. Sometimes they'll add an egg if it's breakfast time or whatever. Sometimes they'll add a spicy sauce. It's like it's a whole thing for them. And you can't put it on a hot dog bun. Certain peppers you can use and not use. I made one a couple of years ago and threw it on Instagram. And all the people from North Jersey were like, no, because I use long hots.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, you know, let's make it like a spicy time. No. Bell peppers only, or horn peppers. That's it. I'm like,
well, you know who else who has wonderful food?
Barbie Marshall.
Well, she does.
Oh, I was close.
But we have Sonny Boy, the co-owner of Stogie Joe's. And oh man, what
crab gravy? I'm sorry.
What a spread! First, let's talk about the spread that you brought in studio. That was beautiful and delicious, and I'm so full. So why don't you tell us what you brought in studio to begin with?
I think my co-host from the other show, Kevin, is still out there eating. So if you wanted to get pictures or something, you might want to do it now. He's having breakfast, lunch, and dinner out there.
So I brought you the house salad, and I brought you meatball sandwich, which was an award-winning meatball sandwich on a nice Lissio Kaiser. And we also brought you the award-winning pizza. I mean, the pizza is pretty much a staple there. But like this guy, yeah, this guy likes the crab gravy.
And I really do.
It is good.
It's a unique take on it, and not a lot of people do crab gravy that way. They really don't.
No, it's more really, it's like a really a South Philly thing.
It really is. Like I was joking around calling it Crab and Arrow one day.
It's funny because I just had guys up, my son's up at Montclair and Montclair State, and we met a bunch of people from up north, and they didn't know what crab gravy was. They came. We were actually at the bar last night, and he finally had crab gravy. One of the followers, yeah. He was flipped out about it. So it was pretty cool.
It's really good. I'm sorry, we're getting off topic, but if you go to Stogie Joe's, just get the crab gravy. Other than that, I'll let you get back.
That's good stuff.
You want to tell us about your restaurant a little bit and what you're going to be offering for the flavors?
So we're going to be outside with a table. We'll have meatballs and pizza outside at a discounted price, and then the restaurant will be open full force. Nice. Whatever, if you come in and sit, and we'll have music out there. And
where's your restaurant located on the avenue?
We're on the corner of Passchunk and Moore, yeah.
What makes your restaurant so unique on
the
avenue?
Man, Don's just firing him out there.
I know.
I'll tell you. I
try to breathe.
I feel like he's being interrogated.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting questioned.
Do you need a lawyer?
Any Stromboli whereabouts, sir?
I need an attorney. Oh, that's funny. No, I think the most unique thing about Stogie's, the food's great. It's all homemade. Yeah. I think it's the feel. Walking in,
yeah.
Not knowing anyone. And like I said briefly before, you'll walk in by yourself and wind up walking out, knowing somebody, befriending somebody, have his number, meet him at the Phillies game 2 weeks from now, and hey, maybe we'll stop back on Passchunk and hang out. Like it's that's the kind of thing it is. It's just the feel there. I got a great staff, and they really do a good job of making everybody feel welcome. You know, a woman can walk in and sit at the bar and not feel one bit, you know, out of place. You know. That's what's cool about it.
What's good about a restaurant like that? A woman can walk in and feel comfortable and not have to worry about
nothing. Exactly right. Exactly right. It's a good feel.
What does the flavors of the Avenue mean to you as a member of the Passchunk Avenue, East Passchunk Avenue?
Well, let Adam that
one. Business Improvement District.
Yeah. Is that mic on for him? Or is
the bid does a really good job with this. They really do. And the flavors, just isn't about one particular restaurant. Like you said, you know, you could park on it either end of the avenue, walk up, and you're going to just go to restaurants probably that you would look at in a magazine and say, I don't know if I would go there. But once you pass by, grab a little bite and say, you know what? I'm going to go to Laura, or I'm going to go to Will, or you know what I mean? I'm going to walk in Noir. You know, I like that, you know, Noir's known for like their artichoke, you know, and I'm going to run there and get that. It's cool. It's a cool vibe for the day just to come out and hang out. It really is. It really is.
Now, how did, obviously Stogie Joe's is iconic, and you guys have been there for quite some time.
Yeah.
What drew you to East Passchunk to begin with?
It was it's my neighborhood growing up. So I was born and raised in that neighborhood. So I seen.
You've seen a lot of changes go around there.
Yeah, I'm up here. I'm a little older than you guys. You know? So I guess it was you know, Stogie's was an old bar. It was the Passchunk Tavern. You know, it was an old time bar. A lot of firemen went in there after work. All the firemen worked there. They were 4 and 4 off. All the guys that worked there and bartended were firemen. And we would go in there. My family was from that neighborhood. I was in there as a kid getting a roast beef sandwich or, you know, a ham sandwich. And then the old man was selling, and we just decided to do it and turn it into Stogie Joe's, you know, and it just worked out. And with the vibe of the avenue and with everything that happened over the years, it worked. It's the avenue's hopping, so
hopping is yeah. it could jumping is
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say hopping is you're burying the lead there.
what would you say was the most difficult part of opening Stogie Joe's?
The hours, the restaurant hours, tough. You know, it's tough. I mean,
it's got to be a passion.
It is a passion, you know, and I don't know if I could do it without my two brothers. I would never be able to do it without help, you know what I mean? My brother Christian runs the whole show over there, him, and we have great staff, you know, we got a great manager. And
me and John were talking about this before the show, and you were saying the largest struggle of restaurant professionals right now is staffing.
Yeah, I've guested on some other podcasts. They're going to be guesting on some of my podcasts.
It's the truth.
It's a lot of restaurant people, and it's just an informal conversation. It's not meant to be like accusatory, finger pointing, or whatever. But I'm fortunate enough to speak with a lot of restaurant owners, food truck operators, bar owners. Their biggest number one problem, finding someone to come in and work. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity chef. It doesn't matter if, you know, maybe you're just like a little mom and pop bread store or something. To get someone to come in so you don't have to be there every day, you know, lock up, turn the lights on, make sure your money's deposited. It seems like it's super difficult.
Yeah, and it just boggles my mind. And to take a quote from our former co-host, which I always enjoyed, one of his was he would say that he had trouble hiring people who wouldn't steal from him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then it turned into he couldn't hire anyone to steal from him.
No, it's the truth. There are restaurants, and I don't think East Passion Uncle Say is a little bit immune to this because it's become like ground zero for the culinary scene in Philadelphia, right? But there are other places in Philly, other places in other cities where restaurants are closing more than they want to. Like restaurants dark on Monday, Tuesday, no big deal. Everybody's had that in the industry, right? There are restaurants now that are closed 2 and 3 days a week in other cities. Pittsburgh, I was in Austin earlier this year. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you want to go out to get a bite to eat. It's just not happening because these restaurants can't find kitchen staff or a house staff to work at the level that they sort of
– and.
You know, I spoke to a restaurant in Austin, Perry's, well-known steakhouse, really kind of like top-notch place. They're paying people $7, $8 an hour over minimum wage in Texas to just get them to come in. So they only have to be closed one day a week. I mean, that's...
And that's where, especially with, like you said, your brothers, when you have a good connection and a flow, it can really show for the entire operation of the business.
Without a doubt. Like in our case, we have now the kids are getting involved. You know, my nephew's there all the time. My daughter's there. And it's just a family type vibe. My sister-in-law is constantly there. She works a bunch of hours. And it's just a great we're lucky for that. It's not all the time that happens. That's a tough thing to actually.
How much say do you personally have in the menu?
In the menu? I eat a lot. I got a lot to say. No, we all just have a say, and like,
I mean, because everything you brought in is delicious.
Yeah, and
so I'm wondering, like, who is the one coming up with the recipes and saying, "Yeah, this is what we need on the menu."
A lot of it is just stuff that we grew up on, like the crab gravy we grew up on. You know what I mean? Like, the Stromboli, like the Stogie Joe Stromboli.
The Stogie Joe Stromboli. Like
the Stogie Joe Stromboli is my grandmother buying lunch meat for school, like say on a Sunday or a Monday, right? For us for lunch, and then Friday night, all my friends are over the house and we're hanging out watching a game or something, and she'll get like the old lunch meat, put it in the bread, roll it up.
Not going to go to waste.
And put it in the oven, and it's the greatest Stromboli you ever had. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
just, wonderful.
It's family owned. You know, and my brother Christian has a big influence on that, along with, you know, everybody else. Everybody else chimes in. You know what I mean? Joey, Chris that work there, they do a good job.
I'll badger someone who's with me at his place to get that Stromboli because I want some of it, but I'm not getting crab gravy. So somebody's got to come along, and the invite will be, well, would you like a Stromboli? And if the answer's yes, they get in the car.
Yeah.
If the answer's no, I'm thinking of having a salad. They'll send it to you.
But thank you so much for joining us. It was such
a
wonderful experience, and all of the food was great. Why don't you share website, any other events besides Flavors of the Avenue or anything like that?
On the Avenue, we have a lot of events coming up. We have the car show is a really great event too, a street festival where we should close the Avenue. And then they do the Italian festival, I think.
Oh, Don, when's that?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what
that is. I'm sure. I got to get the date.
We're revoking your Italian card.
But the other thing, that just real quick, I mean, with Stogie's too, like they're doing a lot of great stuff every day of the week. I mean, they're having people come in for like that hangout vibe, but they have music, they have trivia, amazing singers.
Trivia.
Yeah,
you know, Sunday we do the Sunday Fun Day with this Sinatra and Sunday with Sinatra. So it's
that's
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
A good time.
Rick is his name.
Yeah, Ricky Beccari.
Yeah, Ricky Beccari.
He's great.
He's great. He keeps a good vibe on Sunday.
Thank you so much for coming in. But before we go, we've got one other person to speak to, and you called her name a little bit earlier.
I'm sorry. It's like Shazam. I was just trying to get the magic to happen. I'll say it again. Barbie Marshall.
And that would be Chef Barbie Marshall, the most influential chef as named by Cooking Light magazine. And how's things down in the Sunshine State, Barbie?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, Chef
Barbie. Doing good.
So, my name is Magic now, and I'm supposed to apparate when you say my name?
No, I thought if I said your name often enough, he'd put you on the phone.
So, speaking of houses and magic and apparating, let's talk about why April 14th today is my favorite day of 2019 and some of the food things that have been going on around it. Whose house are you? Are you Stark? Are you Lannister? Like an hour and a half from now,
I'm my own house.
Darn it.
No, I'm
and
a Lannister. I hate to admit
you would
it.
Be so surprised how much food stuff is related. Like Sweet Box Bakery in Philly has Game of Thrones cookies and creams from the Oreo cookies from the Game of Thrones edition cupcakes. Like, it's going crazy. All kinds of wing flavors, all kinds of beer flavors. Like,
the Bruno Brothers has Game of Provolone, so they've been talking about all day.
Of course. Even Kool-Aid has gotten in on it.
Kool-Aid?
Like, we are,
oh, now we're sipping the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
She's drinking the punch.
Well,
they're asking, the Kool-Aid is asking who you're pledging your loyalty to, the ice or the fire. So let's just, you know, enjoy this beautiful Sunday that winter is coming back.
Oh, there we go. Well, to all the Game of Thrones fans out there, Chef Barbie sprinkled a little bit of food offerings to get you excited for the big season premiere. Final season, correct?
She's like his final season. She's like the Barbie Lisi.
Final season.
She's the Barbie Lisi.
Barbie Lisi. Well, Chef Barbie was
what
such
was
a... It was, John Cole's now called you Barbie Lisi.
Yep.
Wow.
It was a pleasure talking to you, and we will talk to you again on Sunday, April 28th. Have a great night.
Good night.
Have a good one. Well, that was quite a show. We're going to go around real quick, 10 seconds in a circle.
J. Cole.
There you go. No, don't want to say anything
else. And I suddenly feel like Don now, like, what? What? You can find me on Twitter at J. Cole.
There you go.
Sonny Liuzzi, and you can find me at Stogie Joe's on East Passion.
Donato Marino, D&L Coffee Service. You can find us on Facebook.
Adam Leiter with the East Passyunk Avenue Business Improvement District at East Passyunk.
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And that was a fantastic show. We had
thanks for having me in.
It was our pleasure. John Howard Fusco joined us. We had the legendary chef Robert Irvine. That was really
was interesting.
That was really a pleasure to have him join us. We also had award-winning author Janet Fletcher of Wine Country Table. The best soup in New Jersey, Chef Paul Watterson of Fanwood Grill, Chef Barbie Marshall, and we are Small Bites, live Sunday, 6:35 p.m. on wildfireradio.com, syndicated on AM and many other mediums. Google it for yourself to find out, and we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
I'm Jackie Martlin, and this is Small Bites. A woman's husband's lost all of his sexual desire for her, so she goes out and buys an S&M-style outfit, high stiletto heels, and a leather mask to try and get him interested. Well, that night, she sends the kids to her mother's and gets into her new getup and waits for him by the door. He walks in from work, walks right past her, grabs a beer out of the refrigerator, turns and says, "What's for dinner, Batman?"